Yeah, I agree. I think it's an important skill set, but not one that everyone brings in. And I think that is one of the pieces that separates those who are really successful in this industry to those who may not rise to that level or certainly that quickly. Because it is, you know, I mentioned before, a lot of what we deal with is very complex. And if you can't boil that down into...
Welcome to Change Your Mindset Podcast, where it's all about believing in and executing on different and innovative ways to strengthen both your leadership and communication skills to help increase your success, and especially in today's disruptive business environment. One of the most effective ways of building stronger leadership and communication skills is by embracing the principles of improvisation. Yes, that's right, improv. Your host, Peter Margaritis, is an improv virtuoso. He's also a certified speaking professional and a CPA, also known as the accidental accountant. Each episode of Change Your Mindset is designed to bring you different and innovative ideas, thoughts, and behavioral changes on a variety of differing topics, with the sole purpose of strengthening your critical soft skills. We may call them soft skills, but they are the hardest to master. And when we do, greater success and growth is the result. So jump in and start changing your mindset now. Let's start the show.
Happy New Year and welcome to Milk Carton Musings, aka Change Your Mindset Podcast, where comedian Peter and technologist Nick discuss the curious case of Brian and Roxanne, two individuals who seem to be missing from a carton of milk. Join us as we explore the possible reasons for their disappearance and its impact on the milk carton community. Along the way, we'll delve into the latest tech trends and share some laughs with Peter's signature brand of comedy. So grab a carton of milk and tune in for a wild ride on Milk Carton Musings. So my guest today, who wrote the intro for me, is Nick Lozano. And Nick is a technologist, entrepreneur, and co-host of Lead.exe podcast with Brian Comerford and John Abood. Nick has experience working in technology and leading teams at Accenture, a boutique technology consulting firm, Cornerstack, and a major trade association. Before working in technology, Nick led and managed teams in the hospitality industry. Full transparency, I wanted to get Brian Comerford and Roxanne Kaufman to join us on this episode, as I have in the past. However, their schedules were extremely busy. That's according to them. And they could not fit us into their schedules. So Nick created a virtual background and put their faces on separate milk cartons with the quote, "Have you seen Brian? Have you seen Roxanne?" You can see this on my YouTube channel in the coming weeks when I upload the video portion of this podcast episode. So before we get to the interview, just a few housekeeping items to take care of. If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast platform. Also, please subscribe to and share this podcast episode with a friend.
This podcast is part of the C-Suite Radio Network, turning the volume up on business.
This episode is sponsored by Peter A. Margaritis, LLC, also known as the Accidental Accountant. Are you looking for a speaker that can bring powerful content, virtually or in person or on-site, that is memorable and engaging in a way that motivates and inspires your audience? Instead of data dumping and numbing with numbers, imagine your people and teams delivering a financial story to your stakeholders, a story that creates engaging and relationship-building business conversations. Would you be interested in learning more about how that is accomplished? How would you feel if the value your facilitator provided your organization far exceeded the dollar amount on their invoice? Peter Margaritis, CPA and certified speaking professional, delivers all of the above and much, much more. All of Peter's programs can be done virtually, in person and on site at your location, or at an off-site venue. Send Peter a note at peter@petermargaritis.com and or visit his website at www.petermargaritis.com to learn more about what Peter can bring to your next conference, management retreat, or workshop.
Now, let's get to the interview with Nick Lozano. Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's been a while since I had the pleasure of interviewing anybody. And we're going to start off this new year. We're going to start off 2023. with my friend, Nick Lozano. Now, for those of you who are listening, you will have to go out to my YouTube channel because normally we have two other guests with us, Brian Comerford and Roxanne Kaufman, and they couldn't fit it into their schedule. They're busy people. You know, Nick and I apparently aren't as busy as those two guys. So we both have these backdrops, virtual backgrounds with milk cartons on them with the pictures of each of them, one on each carton, and it says, "Have you seen me?" So we're looking for our two guests. We'll have to get them back on the podcast real soon, but you can officially see this on my YouTube channel. So first and foremost, Nick, thank you. Boy, thank you for making me laugh when you popped that up and taking time out of your busy day, well, maybe not so busy day, to hang out with me.
So what I think I heard in that intro is I'm not as important. Just joking. But no, I'm happy to be here. And like you said, unfortunately, Brian and Roxanne couldn't be here. And we always have a great time speaking with them. But, you know, we're recording this towards the end of the year and people's schedules get crazy trying to pack everything in before the holidays. So I'm happy to be here. Glad to be back on the show. Thanks for having me, Peter.
Oh, you're welcome, man. So there's a lot. It's a lot been going on in both of our lives and stuff. And we were trying to figure out what to kind of discuss what it looks like going into 2023. Brian said, "Well, why don't you share my story? We can talk about that a little bit too." I'm now at Oklahoma State University. I think if you've been listening for a while, you know that I am. I went from a 1099 person, independent contractor, to an employee. Now, Nick is an employee, and you've been a W-2 person for how long?
Oh, for as long as I can remember. But I'm kind of a weird person. So I just always had a side hustle of some kind, whether it's like consulting or, you know, Brian and I started a record label. So I've got that now too. You know, I'm just kind of always dipped my toes, and that's a tough transition. I imagine it has to be for you, right? Going from a W-9. And I had to give you credit being a CPA. I thought you were going to mess it up for a second there when like I went from a W-2. I was like, wait, he's been filling out the wrong forms this whole time?
So we got to take a step back. Okay, so you guys still have the podcast?
We do. Okay. Yes.
And it's EXE.
It's a lead.exe, and that stands for leadership.execute. It's a bit nerdy play on words, right? Where you run a file on a Windows machine and it's a .exe file type for execute.
Okay. That was kind of nerdy, but that's kind of cool because, you know, accounts are nerdy as well. you started a record label. Now, we have to talk about that. So, I mean, Nick does a lot of other stuff. Yeah, consulting, but I got to know about this record label before we start talking about that other stuff.
Yeah. So Brian had come to me. So those of you who aren't familiar with Brian Comerford, he has been an electronic music DJ for, probably like 30 years. And he recently just released a record and we put it on our own label because Brian was like, well, I don't want to go through all this stuff of like trying to promote it and try to get a label to sign it on. And there's like marketing things. And he's like, what do you think about just joining up and putting it under the Janitor Media umbrella, which is, you know, the LLC that we formed to put our podcast in, anything else we do related to that. So it's like, okay, let's just do that. So he released his album. It is out on Bandcamp right now. It's called, he's gonna kill me, but he should be here. It's Ecstatic Cargos. It is on Bandcamp. It is under E23. And what I will do is after this, I will send the link. We're going through the process right now of submitting it to iTunes, Google Play, Spotify and all that. There's just so much archaic things that so many weird bureaucratic archaic rules to music. Like I got submissions back. It's like, this music has more than 15 seconds of dead air time at the end. Can you trim that so it's only 10? It's like all the weird things. It's like one of those things where I'm like, just give me all the rules written out instead of me submitting it and then finding out afterwards. Cause of like, I'm an analytical guy, right? I'm a tech guy. You're an accountant, CPA, right? Give us the rule set, right? Give us the rules we're playing with and we'll follow the rules.
I guess Dave Matthews got away with that in one of his songs, You and Me. There's like a 30-second dead air piece, but I guess he's Dave and he got away with that. And you guys are just
getting started. Exactly. You know, it has its Yeah, it has its things. Oh, it's consumed by ecstatic cargoes. And so that's Brian. He's DJ E23 and Chris Mosdell, who is his co-host. Actually, I'll probably get this wrong, but that's why Brian should not be on a milk carton and he should be here in front of me. So Chris Mosdell, who wrote some of the lyrics, actually wrote a bunch of stuff for Japanese pop music in the 80s and 90s. And I believe he even had some involvement on the Thriller album as well, too. He has some musical writing credits on that. And that's, you know, Thriller is probably one of the greatest selling albums of all time. That's Michael Jackson's Thriller, if people aren't familiar with that.
So you guys got a record label, and is the record label Janitor Media?
So that is under Ronin Janitor Records. Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Yeah.
Yeah, and that was Brian's thing. You know, I always go by the Ronin Janitor, and he's like, "Why don't I do that?" Just has a good ring to it. So yeah, that's what we've done, and it's been fun, an interesting thing for me. You know, pick up something different and new. You know, a different challenge, something I've never done before. Which I'm sure you're going through some of that too, right? With being a teacher and teaching faculty and making that career change, right?
Yeah, it is. But you always like to do a lot of different things. So you always try to stretch yourself into different ways and shapes and stuff. Because like you said, you got a W-2, but you've got a side hustle, and you've done some consulting with me to try to teach me how to use technology. I think he gave up. I mean, it was almost somewhat of a lost cause, but.
Well, I think you must have went on your way to becoming a W-2 employee. So
yeah, that had a lot to do with it. Yeah. And my role at Oklahoma State, it's twofold. One, it's this director of the School of Accounting Communication Center, which is not built, but we're in the process of building it. And the idea is to take what the university already has in writing and maybe some presentation skills at the basic foundation. And usually that's what most students walk out of college with. But we're going to put a lot more walls, a lot more roof, and a lot more substance to it, where we're going to go deeper into better business writing. We're going to go into, just an example, how to do a better presentation, how to set up a presentation, talk about how the essence of networking and emotional intelligence and negotiating, and set our students apart from other students who in the accounting profession who may go to, you know, Oklahoma University, but we're going to be able to show on their resume that they've successfully completed this workshop and that those foundational skills of communication versus, well, these people over in Oklahoma don't have that. OU, we'll more likely pick up to get people from OSU. That's Oklahoma State University, not the, I just leave it at that. Most people who know the other OSU is just the. Yeah.
You know, they tried to copyright the.
They did.
It didn't go through for them.
It did go through.
Oh, it did?
It did go through. Okay. It went through last year.
Why did they give them that? Why did they give them?
I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, that's a great perspective that you brought in, you know, of you guys are trying to take, you know, younger college age students. I guess not everybody's young who goes to college, right? I went to a university. You know, my freshman year, I was like 25. So yeah. I was an old dude, the old guy, you know, the oldest person on earth when I'm into those classes. But that's the thing. I just remember learning technical things, right? Yeah. I don't remember learning about, well, you know, emotional intelligence wasn't really a thing, but right. I don't even remember learning about personality traits even, or right. How to give like I had a presentation class maybe, and I had to give one presentation. I don't remember learning speaking skills, but those are the things that I always feel like are more important in business and leadership roles, right? Because anything else, I can flick on YouTube or read an article or pick up a book and learn something technical. I'm not saying the technical things aren't important. They're a great foundation, a great base that you need to keep learning on, but you need to do the same thing on those soft side skills too, right? And it's great that you guys are exposing people to that ahead of time.
Yeah, and we are. And that's what really intrigued me about accepting this job is that opportunity. I've been trying to have that impact on people who have been out in the profession probably way too long, and some who have been out there and just have developed a lot of bad habits and don't have the time to think about what can I do to change the way I am perceived? What can I do to change the way I communicate? because accountants speak in a foreign language, accounting, and they all laugh when I say that. But then I go, have you ever talked to somebody in sales and using your language, and they have the deer in the headlights look, and they all shake their heads because you speak foreign language.
Yeah.
And for them to come out with the skill set, plus part of the role of the communication center is to provide feedback, mm-hmm. which they don't get a whole lot of feedback. We did a test project. One of the classes, they had to write this memo, and the professor said, well, I usually grade it for content. Can you grade mm-hmm. it for style and grammar and all of that? And I did a sampling. It was kind of late in the term, about 60 papers. I took about 15 of them and did a sampling of it and saw some consistencies in it, and wrote a memo back to him in the proper style to give to the students, and did this quick video. And I went, all right. But they've never had that kind of feedback.
Yeah. And I mean, especially from a tech, you know, I work in technology for people yep. who haven't heard any of the things in the past. You know, we deal with the same kind of thing, right? Highly technical in nature, but then you got to go speak to business leaders about something highly technical, right? Leave the technical mumbo jumbo out of it, right? It's like, I always like to tell people when you're presenting to people who aren't, it's not that they're technical, but you need to understand the audience you're presenting to, right?
Right.
And when I'm talking to non-tech people about technology things, I like to stop back and think like, how can I explain this like a five-year-old, right?
Right.
To the point where I don't need to leave the details. I need to be 10,000 feet above just so that somebody gets a concept. And sometimes analogies are great for that, right? And the one I always like to use is building a house in technology, because people are like, well, can you build this app that does this for me? And it's like, well, what kind of house do you want to build, right? Because I can build any kind of house you want. Do you want a ranch? Do you want a craftsman? Do you want 7,000 square feet? Do you want 20,000 square feet? Do you want 800 square feet, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I give those concepts like when I'm speaking about building applications, right? We can build a website, you know, that's our smaller house. That's our ranch, right? We can build an application that talks to other applications. And maybe that's our 20,000 square foot McMansion, right? So I like to use analogies a lot when I'm talking to, you know, people who might not be in the technical domain where you're the technical expert in that domain. I always find it's a good way to kind of like bring people to an understanding point.
This is what we need, Roxanne, because there she is. She's on the carton.
she's missing.
She shared with me because I'm her virtual CFO. I think you knew that, fractional CFO.
Yep.
And she's been looking at doing more, taking her content and going online with it, on demand, online learning. And they found this organization in Dublin, Ohio. And I guess they thought maybe she was too small because they had the tech person come and be the salesperson. Mm-hmm. She said she would rather scratch her eyes out. He was talking code. He was talking IT mumbo jumbo, like accounting mumbo jumbo. And she goes, well, I'm not doing business with them. And they even had the gall to send a proposal. She's going, well, you didn't care enough to send your salespeople. You sent the IT person who probably does a really good job at what he does. Communication with the outside wasn't part of that skill set, and lost that piece of business.
Oh, yeah. And I can believe it. And when you were saying that, it reminded me, a friend of mine gave me this quote. It was from, I believe it's Teddy Roosevelt. It's nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care.
Yeah.
Right. And that's a great instance of that, right? She could tell right away that the person speaking to her didn't really care that she didn't understand it.
Right.
And to me, from a sales perspective, and you know, you've done sales, right? Because you're a W-9 employee, you're the salesman, right?
Yeah.
If you're not tailoring your pitch or your presentation to your potential client, you're doing yourself a disservice. And the same thing goes when you're an internal W-2 employee, and mm-hmm. you might be that accountant or that mm-hmm. CPA, and you've got to present to a different team who's not technical in that domain. You still have to sell to those people, right? And I think that gets lost in translation sometimes, where they're like, oh, it's just a conversation between the two. But sometimes you're in a selling position. You're in a presentation. You're in a pitch position, right?
Oh, I agree. I agree. And I think most technical people, unless they've had some training, they do what they see. and what they see is wrong, but they don't know that it's wrong. And there's been a few instances recently that I've been in a meeting thereof, and I'm going, oh, there's so much consulting work with inside this building. But you think, I mean, these are very smart people, and they deal with lots of data and stuff. But and they're talking to mostly other smart people that know the knowledge, but some of us don't. And when they get out of this and they speak at conferences, I mean, you attend a lot of conferences, and anymore, it's all pretty much the same thing. It's just technical, bad PowerPoint slides. And every now and then you'll get someone who's got some humor to them or sort of knows how to do a presentation. They go, wow, this was fun. The others have just been, but you just got to want to do it, I guess.
Yeah, like you're saying, you have to care, right? Yeah. You have to care about who you're presenting to, taking the time to understand your audience that you're speaking to, right? And especially when it's a paying gig, right? You're being paid to go speak somewhere to someone. Yeah. I feel like you owe it to them to understand who the audience is, to try to interact, to try to engage with them, to try to find points that connect with them. When I present, I always love using humor. That's just who I am. I mean, you see my ridiculous LinkedIn content sometimes where I have a poll as a hot dog, a sandwich.
Oh, that's right. I love that one.
Yeah. And somebody got mad at me. They're like, you're ruining LinkedIn. But I'm like, you know what? If we were here in an office together, we would talk about those things anyway. So how's this any different? But I digress. But I'm the type of person, I always try to inject humor, because when you go to this presentation, sometimes I feel like that gets people moving, right? You make a joke, or I like to make dad jokes, right? So I'd say, you know, like what did one Dorito say to the other Dorito?
What?
Cool Ranch. yeah. So I, you know, just crazy thing. Or I'll look at my slides if I'm running behind. I'm like, oh yeah, all that's true. That's true. Next slide. Yeah. You know, and I feel like it's more about understanding your audience and you know, feeding off of that. And that's where I think it's great exposing people earlier to that, because they get to practice where the situation is not as high stakes, right? You're just doing it with your peers. Everybody's learning together. We're giving constructive feedback. And anyone who didn't have this opportunity, I'd also recommend like a Toastmasters too.
Yes.
Is a great place to kind of dip your feet if you're already a professional, maybe mid-level manager. It's a great way to kind of hone your speaking skills.
Yeah, I do tell audiences that's why I started cutting my teeth in this whole presentation world. The aspect of giving these students the opportunity, one, to fail, to be critiqued, to think differently, so to learn more about the audience and how to tailor a technical presentation to that audience through stories and metaphors or whatever, I think it sets them out there on the right foot and differentiates them tremendously from those within the firm, within the company, within the accounting department, as well as those who, when they're getting hired, from other schools, that they're the first ones to, wow, these guys are coming out with this foundation. We need to bring more people in from Oklahoma State University. And that's the goal, is help these kids become better, these students, these young adults, to become better in their communication skills and their communication journey. Put them 3 or 4 years ahead of where they would be coming out if they didn't have this, and just make them more competitive and successful.
That's amazing. In my opinion, I like you brought up that point of failure, right? Give them the opportunity to fail. Yeah. And that's always something people say in tech. They're like, fail fast and fail often.
Yeah.
And I also say, you know, you can't forget about one other part of failure, right? Is the learning aspect that comes from that. If you just constantly failing and you're not learning the lesson somewhere in between there, you're kind of wasting your time failing, right? You have to stop and think like, okay, what happened here that messed up, and how can I learn from that to never do that again? And I know I've done that in my professional life. Mm-hmm. I've mistakenly deleted a database of users, and I'm like, well, you know, my lesson is to make sure I'm in the right database when I run that code, and I will never do that again. So, and that brings me like one of leadership principles I always like to do is when I am working with new team members, or I roll somebody on, is I often like to tell them about the stuff I messed up. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it helps make a human connection and makes them know, like, you know, hey, you're going to mess up and you're going to fail, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. That's what we're here for. I'm here to support you. The key principle we need to learn here is to learn from that mistake, to take something out of it, so we don't make that mistake again.
Someone told me this, took the word fail and turned it into an acronym. First attempt in learning.
Yep.
And that has stuck with me. And it's make the mistake. You're not going to be criticized. Hopefully you're not criticized or humiliated or anything like that. Talk it through, figure out what you did wrong, and then just move forward and don't do it again. But feedback, so I have in my classes, I have TAs because I have a class of 150 and another class of 68. And you
can't manage that all yourself?
Some days I know, God, no, I can't. Some days I could, but that's usually on a day that I'm not in class. And I wanted to get the TAs involved and to lead the class. I asked this one student, and she said, sure. And she kind of, and this was like maybe 3 hours before class. We went kind of see how she would react. She reacted perfectly, got up there, and she started doing a presentation, and she was behind the podium and couldn't see her, but I could see her. And she was literally hugging herself. And she would ask a question try to get a response. About one beat would go by and she would lean into it. So afterwards, I just took her aside. I said, look, did a great job. Couple of things about the hugging. And I said, let a pause hang out there for a bit until somebody says something. She took it personally. And I had to follow up with her the next day. I heard through the student grapevine, and I followed up with her the next day. I said, look, I made all these mistakes. You don't know any different. All I'm trying to do is help you so you can be better at it. And by the way, you did a really good job for being thrown into the fire. So first and foremost, keep doing what you're doing. And I'm here to provide you feedback as the director of the communications center. Even though I'm teaching this class, that's still one of my roles. Ask for help. I keep telling you, call me in. I'll sit and watch you guys and I will give you constructive feedback. It's not personal, and we'll just only help make you feel better. And if you'd rather not me do it, then video yourself and watch yourself. Professor Margaret, we'd rather you come in. I hate watching myself.
I think that's a great point, right, that you brought up, is the ability to take feedback, right? Don't be one of those people like, oh, I'll take feedback, but I only want positive feedback.
Right.
Right. And that, like, when you run into that as a leader, it's like, okay, well, we need to just have a conversation here that this is just constructive criticism. You can either take it or not, or leave it, but right. This is not attack on you personally. You're trying to help raise them up so that they can be better than where they are now. And especially things with like that speaking, it's so easy to be stuck in that moment and not realize that you're doing things
right.
Or rambling or doing the ums and the ahs. That everybody does that at some point, but you know, it's easier to get those things if either somebody is watching you, or you go back and watch the video yourself. And I will say one way to get good at speaking is what we're doing right here. It's just having a podcast. If you go back and listen to my first episode with Brian, it is absolutely horrible. It is, sorry, Brian, you're not here, but you know my feelings on this. It is an absolute horrible train wreck of us talking over each other. But over time, this has just helped me hone in on my communication skill, my style, which has then allowed me to then hone in on speaking in public because I'm used to it now. It's just something I do. And like you said before we got on here, like, how long can we talk? I was like, well, we've got 55 minutes. I could talk for all 55 of those if you would like. So practice, failure, like you said, is your first attempt at learning.
Absolutely. And it's something that's been fun to enter. I love the students. I got great students. They're really nice. And the faculty have been very welcoming. The university has been very welcoming. But two big things in this transition. I've been a Mac guy for 15 to 20 years. I'm a Windows guy now. You see these 10 fingers? They're mm-hmm. 10 thumbs. The first 3 months, these were 10 thumbs. Well, okay, no, let's rephrase that. They were 8 thumbs. Two fingers were working really well a lot when I kept getting mad at what I was just stumbling over. It was frustrating, and I'll be completely vulnerable here. I have not really used Excel in 12 years, 13 years. Mm-hmm. And I was doing the homework assignment, so I know what they were the students had to do. And there was this Excel spreadsheet that I had to turn into a graph. Took me 2 hours, and it was four columns and four rows of data. It took me 2 hours. I was on YouTube. I couldn't figure it out, and finally figured it out. And I went, well, there's 2 hours. That was actually well spent, because it frustrated me to the point that I realized my skills are really, really weak, and I've got to hone them up. That's fine. But calendar hijacking has probably been my just biggest, you know, all of a sudden I've got the day available, and how did this get on my calendar? Oh, it's a meeting. Oh, I probably should attend, but
yeah, that's that calendar hijacking's real. You know, I'd like to make a point here real quick before we go to that, but it was something else you said is about that Excel sheet, right?
Yeah.
And I always like to use things like that as a great example, a great reminder to have a beginner's mindset, right? It's really easy to be an expert in something and forget what it's like to be new at something.
Yeah.
And what you just had was a feeling of being a beginner. And all you have to do is keep that memory with you when you're making content or course stuff for students, and remember that moment, what it was like to be brand new, and not forget that, you know, there's points where you might need to explain stuff more and make sure that somebody understands something that might be inherent to you. So I would leave that as a little nugget of what you just said to me there.
That's such a great point, because there's a lot of things that I've done this first semester that's been new, a new learning management system, a new class, a new textbook, a new way of looking at accounting, a new faculty members, new everything. And it really, I felt like I got all thumbs and no feet. But, and people would say, how you doing? Well, I'm drinking out of a high pressure fire hose here. It's really about the beginning of right before Thanksgiving. That fire hose started to slow down a little bit. I'm a lot as frustrated I was for 3 months. I'm a lot more confident in what I'm doing. But man, that was a rough 3 months.
But you'll always have that now, right? Because the LMS, which is a learning management system for people who don't know, colleges use them, universities and corporate organizations use them to do content and tests and stuff like that. But to my point, it's like, you know, your students experience that as well too, right?
Oh, yeah.
They come in straight off the street. They're at a high school, who knows if they use a learning management system or not, or if they even used Excel. There's so many high schools and lower education where Google just basically gives them so much stuff for free that it's easy for a school system just to be on Google, like Google Sheets and all that. So it's a great, like I said, it's a great reminder to remember what it's like being new in that environment, because you're going through it now as faculty, not as a student, but you're using the same things that the students are going to use.
Yep. And this class is, by the way, for sophomores. I have a few freshmen in the class, and I try to find out who they are early and just go, okay, we're learning, especially this term, we're learning this together. I'm a freshman here too. Just not a student. No, this is my first time teaching here at this university. So don't be afraid to ask questions.
I like that. So funny thing, I'll leave it. So when I had a professor, I was like, was he my stats professor or something, like our business calculus? And we all go in the room. He's a younger looking guy like me at the time. And he's just sitting down in the room. It's the first day of class. And like, obviously you don't know what the teacher looks like. And he's just sitting in the room, and he's like, you know, this guy's sitting there, and he's like, you know what, how long before the professor not shows up? Can we just go home? And this guy just keeps talking. He's like, oh, you know, like, I think we should all just go home. Should we take a vote on just all going home? He's like, has anybody seen this professor? And this is before, you know, like everybody had Facebook and whatever, and you could look anybody up.
Yeah.
And, you know, he takes a vote. He's like, okay, we should all go home. And everyone's like, are you sure? You think the professor will know? And he's like, I don't know. Let me ask him. And he turns around, he puts a hat on. He's like, what do you think? Do you think we should go home? And then he stands up. He's like, hi, I'm professor like such and such. he's like, I know I look like I'm 17, but I'm not. So it was a great reminder, great icebreaker. And the class just instantly felt, you know, like really close to him. Like,
yeah.
like he, you know, like he used humor as an icebreaker to connect with his audience. And I know you're big on that too.
Well, what I do with these guys is this class has a really bad reputation around the university, around the business school, because it's accounting, it's hard, it's different from the others. However, I came in, I said, okay, I know what you've heard about this class, but here's the pasta thing. You're taking financial and managerial accounting merged together for a semester versus having to take each individually for a semester each. So you got a semester that you don't have to really deal with accounting. That's the upside. And then I went, and this is your first entry into accounting. So I have I brought my juggling balls with me. And I said, anybody juggle? He went, nobody juggle. So I threw them and they all fell to the ground. Oh, God. And I did it again. And I think after the third time, I went, this is how you can feel the first 2 weeks. You're learning how to juggle. And you're not going to juggle well. And it's going to be very new. And then I started juggling and then dropping them. So by the end of the term, you should be able to keep most of the balls up in the air as long as you've been coming to class and doing all the right things. If you haven't been, you'll still be dropping the balls all the time. And that story, that intro got around the business college almost immediately. I had a few people stop by and go, are you the juggling professor?
yes, I am.
Yeah. But that helped connect them with me. And you know, and that's, I'm actually finally, that my guitar, I'm finally learning how to play the guitar. Started December 1st, I'm taking online lessons. And I'm thinking about the very first class of the spring term is taking my guitar in. Yeah. And I just started learning this back on December 1st. And this is all I could get and see how far I can improve by the time the end of the term shows up.
That's a good idea.
Just trying different things like that, because it's all about the audience, right?
Yeah, it is. And whether you're presenting, like we said, externally or internally, it's understanding who you're speaking to, right?
Absolutely. So I guess we're not going to talk about too much about 2023 because we're getting close to being out of time.
Brian and Roxanne might be better for that.
they tend to pontificate a little bit more. Oops, that came out.
Well, I mean, Brian just sounds like a late night radio DJ anyways, so you know, yeah, it'd probably be more soothing coming from his voice.
From his voice. I looked right at you. I looked over there and I went, oh, that's Brian. Oh, okay.
Well, that is Brian, yes.
Yes. So what's on your radar for this next year, if you have like one goal you're trying to achieve?
Yeah, I think one goal that I'm trying to achieve is just, trying to figure out something more to do with this record label thing, right? It's okay. More of a challenge for me, something that I've never attempted. And like you're juggling balls, right? That's what I'm doing right now. I don't know how to juggle these balls. So I'm trying to get more into that. And I think Brian wants to do another release of some of his old catalog content. Okay. So I'm just taking some of the skills I have and seeing if I can adapt them here somewhere else. That's okay. The one thing I always think is great about learning, right? You can always take something you've learned somewhere else and find a way to adapt it in another domain.
Yeah, that's cool. I haven't quite figured out what mine is. I mean, I am going to learn how to play the guitar. I've been threatening it for a number of years. I'm going to stick with it. I don't know. Last year there was a lot of firsts. There was a lot of things. There was a lot of picking up and moving to a state out of Ohio that I guess I have to go to the states that have O's in them now. I guess maybe Oregon Oregon or Oregon State University will be my next. And just kind of assimilating to an area that I really didn't know much about. And I think this next year I want to get to know Oklahoma better, because I think it's probably the worst kept secret, or no, the best kept secret. That's right. Out there, I don't know. I've come to really like this area, enjoy it, enjoy the people. But I want to explore it more. And I did not know this prior to getting here, but a section of Route 66 goes through Oklahoma.
Oh.
And I'm taking some time off at the beginning of the year, and I'm going to go through Route 66 and stop and see the big blue whale and find some funky restaurant. And just kind of, I've always wanted to do that, but I never thought that, I didn't really realize it came through Oklahoma. So I'm going to be doing that. Just to, I'm going to do next show's going to be more about exploring.
You know, I like that idea. And there was this guy I heard years ago. I know we're kind of on time, but Alistair Humphreys, he had this book about micro adventures. Yeah. And he's like, you know, people always talk about they don't have enough time to have an adventure. He's like, if you work 9 to 5, think about the adventure you can have on the off time from, you know, 6 to 8 a.m. Yeah. What mini adventure can you have inside of there? Like you said, part of Route 66, go find that. See if you can fit something in. Make sure you make that time for yourself to do something fun and interesting.
Exactly. Right. It goes to Missouri, comes through Tulsa, and it goes south into Oklahoma City. Stillwater is about an hour northeast of Oklahoma City and about an hour west of Tulsa. So we're just outside of that, but I don't care. And that might be something I won't do between 6 and 8, but weekend trips, once I kind of get this all figured out. And by the way, I'm closer now to Denver than ever before. And apparently the real estate mogul's got some places. We need to get the gang together in Denver at one of his Airbnbs. And
yeah. That's funny. Last time I talked to Brian, he was like vacuuming one of his Airbnbs. I'm like, are you vacuuming?
Well, buddy, thank you for taking time out. It's always a blast talking with you. And it's even funnier when we can have fun at their expense.
There you go. Thanks for having me on, Peter.
All right, buddy. You take care. I would like to thank Nick for his time, knowledge, thoughts, humor, and therapy about being a W-2 employee for the first time in 12 years. And always remember, there are people who prefer to say yes, and there are people who prefer to say no. Those who say yes are rewarded by the adventures they have, and those who say no are rewarded by the safety they attain. Be a yes person, and thank you for listening.
Like what you just heard, visit c-suiteradio.com. C-Suite Radio, turning the volume up on business. This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.